Episode 2.8, Hept. Wow, so I can't believe what just happened. I'm pretty sure I just started this whole mess for myself. What the hell? Ugh. This botched mission seems to be more complex than I could have even imagined. Sounds like Ben is just as confused as me. I mean, he is just a scapegoat after all. That visit to Ash didn't help. She's not given a second thought to her part and how she directed this plot into the hole it's in. Why is Ben going along with this? What will happen if I refuse, exactly? Ugh. Never mind. It's for the fate of the universe, right? Yeah, right. I'm starting to suspect it's merely to save Ash's precious ass. Unfortunately for now, I have to put my fears aside and get swept up in the plan. At least I get to learn about and see remarkable things I never would have imagined existed had I not been a pawn in this ludicrous loop. Yeah, but don't worry, she won't remember anyway. Woo! In the lower level of the ship, Ben and I sit at a table in the galley to prepare for my Hept experience.
Let's do it.
Headwind elucidation training is the general training each headwind strives toward from birth. Astral projection is one of the more advanced training sessions. We don't have much time to train now, so I'll have to give you a crash course, just like everything else.
Okay, so what do?
He rubs my shoulders and tries to get me to relax.
Close your eyes.
Okay.
Clear all thoughts.
I close my eyes.
Focus only on my voice.
He moves his hands to the sides of my head and hums a deep, hypnotic tone. I have no choice but to focus on the sound. His voice pulls me in, bringing me absolute inner peace. I feel Link. Ben's tone remains profound.
Use the strength of the energy. You're in the body of Abby once again, on the date of the cube delivery, April 13th, 4:35 p.m.
Okay.
I focus completely. A swirl of colors fades into my vision, pulsating and swirling, banishing my thoughts.
Breathe. Let the energy take you there.
The swirling colors spin into a blinding light, hypnotizing me.
Okay.
Bringing my mind into Abby's shell.
Okay.
I'm waking up. At first, I cannot stand from the bed. My legs are weak and trembling. I slip further into my trance. The experience becomes more real. I walk in a floating gait to the kitchen. I touch the table. The smooth top brings me further into Abby's mind. Each ding and chip from the formica veneer bring me closer to Earth. Whoa, I'm almost here.
You are there. You're back in Abby's body.
Ben's voice sounds clear and excited.
Well, you've now completed the fifth level of Hept without a single day of training. Congratulations.
Thanks, Master Ben. The house feels different in Abby's view than it did in Audie's. It's a home, not just a house. Can you see what I see?
No, I'm merely communicating directly into your mind.
Ooh, that's so weird, Ben.
Sorry, you asked for my help.
I see. I mean, here.
Now, go check the porch for your package.
I open the front door. Ben, there's no package.
Damn it! I'll be right back.
He releases the hypnosis, but my bond with Abby remains. I'm doused with my memories as Abby, but I try to stay calm. I thought I had the world figured out. I thought I knew what to expect out of life. Then, this catastrophe happened. Abby is dead, and Ben's half-assed explanation of the circumstances doesn't help.
Okay.
Ben reconnects with my subconscious.
I was just checking on the whereabouts of your roommate, Greg. I don't want him to walk in while you're in the middle of doing this. It could kill him. Now, what time is it?
I glance at the wall clock. 4:08, it looks like. 4:10, 4:08, something.
The cube comes at 4:35. Remember, 4:35.
Okay, don't have to repeat it. Since I have some time, I'm gonna make some coffee.
Do what you want. Just keep your wits about you. There is a dupe after you.
I open the can of coffee. Inhaling the fresh grounds awakens my senses. I know. I smile. Oh, good coffee, how I've missed you. I converse with the smell of the fresh, gurgling coffee, taking in the troposphere. Woo! It's good to be home. I pour my fresh cup of coffee and pretend I'm in a normal day. Just me and Joe, if only briefly. I settle in at the table to enjoy my ordinary. A knock on the door bumps me out of my nirvana. I rush to the front porch. There's no one around, just the box containing the cube. An eerie chill comes over me as I pick up the box, rip it open, and take out the cube. So, what do I do now? No response. Ben? Benny? Hello? Ben! Where are you?
I heard you.
He finally answers. Jesus, good. I thought I was on my own for a minute.
Relax. Being on your own isn't all that bad. Don't be afraid. I was just looking over some research. Now you have the cube. Break the glass and make contact with the Zuguru wood.
I consider the cube's weak points, then hit the weakest point of the glass on the corner of the table. The glass refuses to break. I hit the stubborn glass over and over on the edge of the counter. It resists every effort. What the fuck? There's no damage to it at all. Not even a chip. Damn, this stupid thing's tough, Ben.
Of course it's tough. It's Hedwin. Now.
Ben's impatient tone is frustrating.
Greg will be home any time. Are you done?
Fuck no! I slam the cube on the table with an irritated might. The glass shatters, releasing the cube, which hovers above the table. Okay, I broke it. The surface of the cube dances with the sparkling lightning, causing the finish to glow. I reach for the cube, and it flashes in a strobe, crashing into my palm, exploding in light. Memories zip around, like a television with no specific channel in mind. I see a life I never lived, one where Audie and Abby are non-existent.
Who are you? You're in my friend's seat.
My name is Ben.
Why haven't I seen you around here before?
I didn't grow up on this planet.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up on Earth.
I've never met anybody who grew up on Earth before.
But you like it?
I've always found Earth to be fascinating. I mean, it's such a jungle.
I now pronounce you Mary.
This is why I wanted our children to know that they had power.
Oh, really? Really? That's why you wanted them to know? You didn't want them to know so that they could choose them against other people?
Benjamin, really? Really? You know?
I knew that this was going to be a huge mistake coming to Earth. Earth cannot handle this. That's why they cannot be enlightened, you know?
Benjamin, we need to get out of here.
Where are we gonna go, Ash? You fucked us out of every place we could live except Earth.
Audie.
I open my eyes.
Audie, wake up!
Ben's shaking me by the jaw.
Audie!
I slap his hand away.
Ow, fuck, Ben, are you trying to rip my jaw off?
I sit up. Ben holds me steady.
What the hell happened, Audie? I lost my connection. You were literally dead.
Wait, I was dead?
I massage my jaw.
Yeah, like dead. Like dead. Dead.
I broke the glass around the cube, and then it leapt at me, and I remember some weird shit now that I didn't before, but nothing significant.
What, you mean you have new memories?
Ben's curiosity peaks.
Yes, but most of the details were revealed to me before I received the cube. So whatever information this cube held must be invisible. All that work for nothing.
You haven't absorbed enough of the energy, Audie. Ideally, Abby and Audie would have absorbed their respective cubes. In the end, the last standing body would have the knowledge and the ability to fight the Zuguru tree, which holds the final piece of the energy.
How do you expect me to do that?
Hopefully you have enough of the energy to find Audie's missing cube.
I don't feel any different, Ben.
You have to absorb more! Find Audie's fucking cube!
Okay.
I close my eyes and dig into my core, searching the boxes of memories stored deep within me. The places I forgot, and the things buried never to be revealed. I work my way up into the memories absorbed from the cube, opening the crates of newly placed thoughts, yet to be discovered. Hidden within the images, the physical relics of my mind, I feel something calling. The wailing of a distant voice, hunting for me. There's something I need to find. I need to search the stars. I open my eyes and jump from the ramp of the ship into the yard. I look into the night sky at the stars, which now present in a different way. There's a new tint to them. Some of the stars are laid into a map, marked as red dots, coordinates, floating around in my vision. Ben runs up behind me.
Oh, killer! What's the rush?
I point to the sky.
There, I see a series of dots.
Before I can do anything, a streak of lightning breaks through the sky, pointing in the direction of the red dots.
Whoa, did you just see that?
Ben aligns his head.
I don't see what you're seeing.
Okay.
That is a vision just for you, pal. The Innerge wants to be complete. It'll search for all of its pieces until they are found. Or, I guess you stop looking.
He jogs to the boarding ramp.
Let's find that cube!
In the ship, Ben heaves me in front of the stick.
Here, you drive. I can't see your dots.
He makes himself comfortable in the co-pilot's chair.
I don't know how to.
He raises his hand to quiet my lack of confidence and presses some buttons on the dash.
Yes, yes you do. Just grab the yoke.
He becomes thoughtful in his words.
We, Ash and I, were in the same airborne class. She aced it. It's easy. If she can do it, so can you. You're literally the same person in a different shell. Just point the ship in the direction of the dot.
I take a deep breath and toggle the yoke up.
Whoa!
The ship lifts from its landing position. The ramp raises, sealing the exit closed. I maneuver the yoke again. This time, the ship bursts upward. The yoke rattles as we break the atmosphere. Away from Earth, the ride calms. The coasting of the bubbly craft is smooth. No air currents to contend with. And no gravity or atmosphere holding us back. Ben switches on the computer.
Let's warp this baby!